as the snow has hindered Mr. Rosier from being with us tonight, our friend Mr. Warboys has agreed to come in his place. May the Lord help him. Let us commence with hymn 509. Come, come, my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. 509.
There are three portions of God's Word I would like us to read this evening. Firstly, Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapours to ascend from the ends of the earth, he maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth a wind out of his treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth for ever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. For the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. And then, turning to the prophecy of Isaiah, we'll read chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which were carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth, From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. And then lastly, if you would turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we read chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May God bless to us these portions of his holy word and help us each to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee once again in thy mercy, spared to meet together in thy house. Lord, we will have planned to do that and expected to do that. We personally had not. Others had planned to come and have not been able. Oh Lord, may we see thy hand in all these things. We do pray that in all things we might be reconciled to thy will, for thy will is perfect. Oh Lord, if we had our own way in so many things, we would come into so much trouble, so many paths that would be not for our good. Oh Lord, we ask then that thou wilt make us really take heed of thy word, that it is, if the Lord will, that we shall live and do this or that we may have planned. Oh Lord, we do pray for thy servant who has not been able to come here today. We feel for him. Perhaps he had some word in his mind that he felt was for this occasion and he has not been permitted to come. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with him, perhaps at home or wherever he may be this evening. That thou wilt bless him, make him also to know and to understand that these things are all in thy hand. Lord, we think of others perhaps with services this evening who have had their plans changed and disrupted. Lord, we do ask that we each might have our eyes lifted up unto thee, to know that all these things are not by chance, but according to thy will and thy purpose. Lord, we do pray for that spirit that desires to learn from these things, that would be humble and teachable like a little child. Lord, thy word says, except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. And Lord, how we need that grace to learn of thee. We do pray then that thou wilt meet with us here as has been thy will for these particular people, each of us to come this evening. Lord, may there be thy purpose to each one seen in this, Lord, that each might go away filled. Oh Lord, that we shall come with our different burdens, our different cares and concerns, our different thoughts, our different experiences. But Lord, may we each one prove thy blessing. Send none empty or unhealed away that we do pray. Oh Lord, may it be an occasion truly to the honour and the glory of thy name. We have read that this is a name above all other names. Oh Lord, do make it so in our hearts. May we know what it is to truly to praise thy name. Oh Lord, thou art worthy of that endless praise and blessing, much more than we can give on this earth. Lord, may we enter into it at least in measure this evening, to rejoice in what thou hast done. Oh Lord, it is thy promise to be in the midst where those believers gather in thy name. Oh, we do ask that we might feel thy presence. Oh Lord, we know there were times when the disciples were in thy presence but drew no comfort, drew no blessing from it because of the hardness of their heart, the smallness of their faith. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt stir us up to realize that we are in the presence of God, that we have been with Jesus. Lord, what a privilege and a blessing that is. Oh, do make us mindful of these things. We thank thee that we are still free to meet in this way, that we have a place to come to in warmth and comfort, even on a night like this. Oh Lord, and we do pray for those throughout the world who do not have these particular blessings, but those who may be in prison, confined to their own home, those in hospitals, wherever they may be, Lord, that thou wilt draw near, those that cannot, as it were, come to thee, that thou wilt draw near to where they are and bless them in their own circumstances. Lord, do give that faith that shall endure whatever man may be permitted to do. Lord, again, we are so favoured with our freedoms. We would value them. Lord, keep us from taking them for granted or being unmindful or unthankful for them. Lord, we do pray that we may give thee the honour that is due for these things. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt meet the need, the case of each one. Oh Lord, we may have all sorts of different cases, but Lord, thou knowest what is needful even before we ask. We do pray that thou wilt hear the silent cries, the prayers that are not known to us or to one another, but Lord, that thou wilt hear, even as we have been singing the sighs and the groans. Oh Lord, we thank thee that we are not heard for our much speaking or because our prayers are so eloquent, but thou dost hear that prayer of necessity, the cry that comes truly from the heart in sincerity unto thee. Oh Lord, do hear in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive all the sins and shortcomings that we have. Forgive the poverty of our prayer. Forgive the poverty of our life. Oh Lord, how we are such a poor light in this dark world. We do pray for more grace to be given, more courage, more strength to stand fast for that which is right. Oh Lord, do give wisdom, we pray. We ask that for any, especially with particular decisions to make, that thou wilt guide and direct them in what is thy will, show what they must do, we pray. Lord, how we have to pray for that grace to submit to thy will when it is known to us, if it is not our will, as it were. Oh Lord, do help us to not only know thy will, but to do it. Lord, we do pray for those that need comfort, that thou wilt show thyself indeed the God of all comfort. May there be a blessing to those that perhaps are weary and cast down, those struggling in the way at this time. Lord, have we not read that thou wilt carry thy people? Oh, Lord, the idols had to be carried, but but thou didst say, I will carry thee. Oh, Lord, do so for those that need that lifting up, those who stumble. Lord, do bear them up, we do pray. We do ask that thou wilt comfort those that mourn. Oh, Lord, especially those that mourn because of their sin, that realization of how they have offended thee, whom they love. Oh, Lord, make it a burden to us each, but we pray that there may be that comfort also given in thy way and time. Lord, do bless those that seek. Lord, we thank thee that thy word is so encouraging to those who seek. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. O Lord, if there is such a petition in the heart of one here tonight, do show that thou art a God who fulfills thine own word. He is faithful that promised. Lord, we do pray that whatever those different needs might be, those who may feel left out of our prayer, Lord, we do ask that they may know that thou dost hear their own prayers and their own cries. We do pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon our nation. As we stand in uncertain times, we pray that thou wilt guide those in authority over us in doing that which is right in thy sight. Lord, we do pray that in their many responsibilities they may have help of thee. Lord, whether they know thee, whether they acknowledge thee or not, that thou wilt use them to bring about that which is right. We do pray, O Lord, for that there may be those raised up who do fear thy name, those who shall acknowledge their need of thee, acknowledge when they have had help from thee. Oh Lord, we pray that there might be those testimonies in high places to thy honour and thy glory. We do pray that there may be a revival in our land, that thou wilt build up thy church. Oh Lord, we long to see more brought in, more coming out of the need that they now feel in their heart. Oh Lord, we know that nothing else will bring them in any lasting, profitable way. Oh Lord, do create that need, make them realize their need of salvation. Lord, may they come where the gospel is proclaimed and find it a blessing to their souls. Lord, we do ask them for thy help as we continue through the service. Bless the portions of thy word that we have read. Lord, we thank thee for the harmony that there is throughout the scriptures. Lord, do give us a wise and an understanding heart in these matters. We bless the hymns that we sing. May we do so from our heart. And Lord, we pray for thy help as we consider the particular word thou hast given for this time. Oh Lord, may it indeed fulfil thy purpose and accomplish thy will. Oh Lord, may we see it, may we feel it in our hearts that thou hast spoken. We ask that thou wilt forgive then all our many sins. Lord, do wash us clean. We have that need in common, oh, to feel it, to confess it, and to come repenting unto thee and plead with thee for pardon. Lord, do wash away every sin, we pray, in that precious blood of Christ, in whose name we ask all things. Amen.
Hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. 987.
May be pleased to give us each the help that we need this evening. Let us consider together words you'll find at the end of Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 46 and the last part of verse 11. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I've been very struck in the events that have brought me here this evening, very conscious of the way that God works in a way that is not known to us. And at first my thoughts went to verse 10. In my own mind, I must admit, I misquoted it. I thought it said, "The Lord knoweth the end from the beginning," but if that isn't actually, of course, what it says, but that God declares the end from the beginning. But I felt drawn as I looked at that word rather to these particular words, which are, of course, very much in keeping with that. I have purposed it, I will also do it. You are all aware, I know, that we have the major renovations going on with our chapel. We've known that that was necessary for years, and the work itself has been going on for a few months. In itself, that was not of any particular concern, as it were, today. Of course, it's a general concern, but I mean specifically today, that wasn't particularly in my mind. But it was there. Then some of you will know my aunt passed away on Sunday evening, who was in the Bethesda home. The need to consider the funeral service. So that was something that has come for, as it were, just 2 days now. We've known about that, but it's another link in the chain, as it were. And I left a message with our friend David this morning. That was my purpose, to consider that. I couldn't get through. But then that is one chain, as it were, of events. And the Lord also, it seems to me, started at the other end of that chain as well, with the weather that we have had. Again, it wasn't at all in my thoughts. I didn't know who you were expecting. I didn't give that any thought. But the Lord has caused it especially to snow in Kent and Sussex, and thus prevent Mr. Rosier from coming to you. And then at that very time that I was trying to get through to speak to David, I understand he was discussing this service and what to do about it. And so I was very conscious when that was made known to me, of the Lord working, as it were, at both ends of the chain to bring those things together. Exactly the moment I was trying to get through, this service was being discussed. And do we not see that sometimes in our lives? I think we probably should see it more than we do. Perhaps we are blind to these things often. But God has a purpose. God is ruling over all of those events. Each one of those events in isolation would never have brought this particular situation about, would they? But God has a purpose. God will also do it. He does not need us, as it were, to cooperate, does not need us to be cooperative. He will do it. The context of these words is very powerful, isn't it? It's a theme that is repeated several times in this prophecy of Isaiah, the fact that God is the only true and living God. He is the only one with power, with life. And especially in our readings in Psalm 135, we had that description, didn't we, of the idols that men make. Yes, they have all the physical likeness of life. They have mouths, eyes, ears, hands, but they are completely unable to do anything. They cannot hear, they cannot see, they cannot work with their hands. Idols. And in this chapter, again, the context is beginning at verse 1. Bel and Nebo were two of the idols that sadly the people of Israel had succumbed to worshipping them, amongst others, but these were two of those idols. And the picture here given to us is as they went into captivity in the land of Babylon, that these idols were a burden to the beasts that had to carry them. They were, of course, heavy. They were made of gold, silver, stone, wood, various things, and they were laden upon the beasts, and the beasts had to carry them. And they were stooping down. It was a heavy load, too much to bear. And as we have it in verse 2, the idols, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. How worthless really were those idols, weren't they? Could not do anything to assist those that worshipped them. And the contrast is given that whereas the beasts had to carry the idols, or later on it speaks of putting one upon the shoulder and it being a burden, but in contrast to that, God will carry his people. You couldn't really get a greater contrast, could you, there? The idols being carried, God carrying his people. He's mindful of their need. Oh, what need we have of verse 8. Remember this. Remember this. How often do we forget? I don't suppose we, any of us, are guilty of, in that literal sense, of worshipping an idol made of wood or stone or whatever. But we have so many things, don't we, that come between us and God. So many things to which we devote the time and the energy and the attention that we should be giving to God. And they are really, they are idols. Remember this. This is the context then of this word. And you have again here in this verse 11 how God would call a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. This is a reference to Cyrus, who would be brought from the east to Babylon to rule in Babylon. And he, under God's hand, would be the king that would set the people free. Not in Isaiah's day, but later on this would come to pass. God raised up one who, we don't know anything about his personal experience, as it were, but God used him for his own purpose. He brought him there, he put that in his heart to let the people go free, and their captivity was ended. And as you know, they returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city and the temple. God brought him. Mindful as well of what we read concerning Pharaoh. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. What a thing it is for those who know not God and yet are used by God for his own purposes. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Now, we read in Psalm 135, for I know, I may have said to you before, I know I have said it in various places, when we read in the scripture a statement like this, I know, or we know, we shouldn't just gloss over it. Do you know this? Do I know it? The best way of knowing anything, and really in spiritual things, I think the only way of truly knowing something is by experience, isn't it? Oh, can you say tonight with this psalmist, whoever he was, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Oh, if we have this belief, this true belief, this faith in God, what a great God we do have, don't we? Every circumstance of our life is according to his purpose. We read in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes that long list of various times, don't we? And the beginning, the heading, if you like, to that list is this: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. All my times are in his hand. A time to be born, a time to die, to plant, to pluck up that which is planted, to kill, to heal, to break down, to build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to cast stones away, to gather stones, to embrace, to refrain from embracing, to get, to lose, to keep, to cast away, to rend, to sow, to keep silence, to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. I, says God, I, the only true and living God, I have purposed it. I will also do it. Well, I feel this is one aspect of this especially that we need to consider this evening. The control that God has over every event, over every circumstance. It's so easy for us, I think, isn't it, when we are in a deep pathway, I remember that, in all deep places, to think that this circumstance is out of God's hand. Perhaps the devil puts that thought in our mind that God is not in control. This situation is too difficult even for God, or it's something that's not even known to God, and you're completely isolated, you're on your own. Well, it's not true, is it? To every purpose, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose, and it's the purposes of God. Oh, sometimes these purposes are not our purposes, are they? It was not my purpose to be here this evening. It wasn't my purpose in making the phone call that I did. It was Mr. Rosier's purpose to be here. And God has shut that particular door, as it were. He's not permitted that to happen. No one else sent the snow, did they? No one else caused the snow to fall, especially in that part of the country. I have purposed it. Oh, but may we have that grace given to realise that when our purpose conflicts with God's purpose, that we are the one that needs to change. It's not just a... This came very powerfully to me, really, that word you find in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And maybe we sometimes we think of that and we think that of God's ways and God's thoughts being different from ours. Well, that is true. But you see, verse 9 makes it clear they're not just different. You can have things that are different that are equally valid, can't you? Well, that's not the case here when we contrast our thoughts and our ways with God's thoughts and God's ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I say not just different, but better. So much better, aren't they? All for grace to see it. When we are in a path where our own plans and our own purposes may come to nothing, and we seem so hedged up, as it were, we cannot go the way that we want to go, and to see that God's way is better, so much higher. You can't calculate this, can you, how much higher the heavens are than the earth? No one can do that. It's an infinite space, an infinite distance, isn't it? So much higher than your ways, my ways, compared with God's. And again, given our particular circumstances this evening, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That word so means in the same way, doesn't it? Well, how does the rain come down and the snow? Well, I've already said it really, haven't I? It's entirely at God's direction. I have purposed it. We read, don't we? I cause it to rain upon one place and cause it to rain not upon another place. Man has tried for a long time to make it rain, and every effort has come to naught. We cannot make it snow. It is God in control, the sovereign God, directing it where he will. And just as we have had a very light dusting of snow, so it has fallen in much greater quantities elsewhere. Sometimes we notice this, especially coming home from work quite often. I don't know why it should be, but there seem to be so many different experiences of the weather often on my journey. It rains very hard in one place, and then it's sunny, and then it's a light shower, and so on and so forth. Yesterday, when I came home around about the Southill area, it was a really heavy blizzard. I had to have the headlights on full and slow right down to take great care. But only a mile or two later, it was bright sun. God in control. Now, what is it that God sends? He has a purpose. Verse 11 of chapter 55. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Void really means empty, doesn't it? Without any purpose, without accomplishing anything. It will not do that. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is a hard lesson sometimes that we have to learn, isn't it? We may have our own purpose, even in the Word of God, the one that we think the Word is for, the purpose that we think should be accomplished by that Word. I have to confess, I'm sure the Lord's servants do, that often we may come away from a place and we have it in our mind, how could that person not have responded in such and such a way to what I said? We had a purpose, but it proved not to be God's. But it doesn't mean that the Word was void. If it was indeed the Word of God, then it will. You see, there's no doubt about that, is there? It shall accomplish that which I please. Now, maybe, and I know this too from the other side of experience as a hearer, maybe that word doesn't seem to profit us. But the purpose of God is to show the barrenness of our heart, the coldness of our heart, the distraction of our thoughts, even in God's house. And sometimes it's a word of a correction, isn't it? A word to show how far short we have come. A word to show how much more we have to learn. How much more diligently we need to pray that God will put us in that right spirit to receive his word. But it's still accomplishing God's purpose. It's very solemn if that is the purpose, isn't it? But we're told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But it's not only profitable for the things that we might first think of, is it? Often consider that verse, the second epistle to Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What would you say if you were asked to give four words that should follow that? What would you say? I doubt that we would say for doctrine, maybe that, but for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, bless God, it's also a word for comfort and encouragement, but that's what the scripture there highlights, isn't it? Correction and reproof. It shall accomplish that which I please. But then it seems to, again, this such mercy in this, isn't there? It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Never mind where we may have tried to send it, but the prosperity will be, excuse me, the prosperity will be in the thing that God has sent it for. That may not be what we purposed at all. But there is this great encouragement that the word of God will never return to him void. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Oh, the power of God to fulfill his word then, to make it come to pass. I want to look also, and we can only touch on a few things here that might be said, but to look at what some of the purposes of God are that we read in the scriptures. We've spoken about the way that all our times, all our events in our lives are in God's control. And then we also have this word, don't we? Well-known word, but have we really considered it in this light? We know. Oh, do you know it? Do I know it? Is this our experience? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. All things work together for good. That's very hard to see sometimes, isn't it? It's very hard for us when we are looking at it, but we're looking at it from the point of view of our own purposes, aren't we? And that's why we don't see how these things are working together for good. But according to God's purpose, it is so. Again, we have to pray for grace to see it in that way. To them who are the called, according to his purpose. And then there follows in a manner quite typical of the Apostle Paul's writings, isn't there? A list, as it were, but it is a list that really almost seems to be, again, like a chain, isn't it? These things are linked together. The one follows from the other. Whom he did foreknow. Oh, we read in that first chapter of Ephesians, didn't we, that God's people were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He foreknew them, knew exactly who they would be. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I will do it, you see. I have purposed it. I will do it. Not one of us, not one person anywhere ever would conform themselves to Christ, would they? That isn't our nature. Our sinful, wicked heart is to oppose God, to rebel against him. But the purpose of God, you see, is to be conformed. Those people that he has chosen, the ones he foreknew from eternity past, they will be conformed to the image of his Son. And then he goes on further, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Again, this is really speaking, isn't it, of their experience, that they are called, they are made to hear that call of the gospel. And whom he called, them he also justified. Justified really means to present them as if they had no sin. That is, the sin of the Lord's people being laid upon Christ, and he paid the price for it, that redemption price, and his righteousness imputed, or as we have it elsewhere, the figure of a robe of righteousness that clothes them, and therefore they are justified. They appear to be, as it were, without sin in the sight of God. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Oh, this chain that we have here, it starts in eternity past, doesn't it, with that foreknowledge of God, and it ends, as it were, quite makes sense, but bear with me, it ends with the eternity in the future, the glorified saints, those who are in heaven praising God through a never-ending eternity. What a chain that is. Now, that is all according to the purpose of God. We are so small and so insignificant, aren't we? I so often think of that word. I think it's in Psalm 8, isn't it? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, we are, again in Isaiah we have it, don't we, like a worm upon the earth. And yet, all these things coming to pass according to the will and the purpose of God. What a wonderful mercy that he is mindful of us, not according to our worthiness, according to our abilities or anything of the sort, but I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Now, that is to be made known to these people in the purposes of God. In Jeremiah's prophecy, we read that command to Jeremiah to go and speak the words of God to Judah. And then God says this: it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil. Now here we need to be careful. Evil in that sense, it means trouble, difficulties, problems, not sin. God is not the author of sin, does not tempt his people to sin, but this trouble. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. Now, why does God purpose at times to bring his people or permit his people to come into times of trouble, tribulation, difficulty? Well, we're told very clearly that they may return every man from his evil way. In other words, that these things may bring them back to God, may bring them in repentance back to God. And I think we can say, can we not, we know that is true. We know that when everything is according to our purpose, going along smoothly and easily, and we don't, just to use that phrase, we don't have a care in the world, is that not so dangerous to our soul? Is that not when we forget God? Is that when we become so complacent we don't feel any need of God? Do we not need God's wise purpose to bring trouble, bring these things that make us turn and repent, forsake our way, return to the Lord? When you think of that youngest son who took all his the portion of goods that his father gave to him, you know how he went into a far country, lived such a riotous, sinful life. And what trouble came upon him. It was a famine, wasn't it? There arose a mighty famine. Man didn't cause the famine, did he? I have purposed it, said God. He brought that famine upon him that brought him into want, into a felt need. Previously he'd not felt any need for God, had he? He'd had everything that he wanted in the things of this life. But now there was a new need, a new want felt. Now he had to, he didn't just confess his sin, did he? He did confess it, and that's needful. But it wasn't only confession. You see, he could have stayed in that far country and said, I have sinned. But he could have remained there, in that worldly company, in the worldly pleasures, and still said, I've sinned. But we see the sincerity, the genuineness of his repentance, that he came back. He forsook that place, that company, didn't he? Turned his back upon those things and was brought back to the Father's house. There you have a confession and repentance, and both are so needful, aren't they? And think of that welcome that he had. Well, here in Jeremiah, the Lord says the same thing, really, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. What a wonderful promise that is, isn't it? The purpose of God toward his people, to, yes, make them feel their need, make them cry to him for pardon. But his purpose is to give pardon. It's not his purpose to create that desire in a repenting heart and then deny them that mercy, is it? You can't find that in the scripture. The two go together. The one that the Lord has taught in this way, brought in this way, will be forgiven. Their sin will be pardoned. Or the certainty of God's salvation. So a wonder, isn't it? And it's such a comfort. It cannot fail. You see, I have purposed it. I've purposed all that teaching through all those circumstances in that soul's life. I will also do it. I'll ensure that it happens. His own work will not be frustrated, will it? His own work won't be left half finished. It will be brought to a perfect conclusion, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. We read, I hope you were indeed engaged equally in that reading, as it were, though silently. We read that first chapter of Ephesians because it speaks there, really, I must be quite brief now, but it speaks, doesn't it, of the way that God teaches his people. Paul writes, of course not Paul's thoughts, but the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he sets out there how that the people of God have redemption through the blood of Christ, that price, as I've said, paid for their sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He goes on to say, you see, having made known unto us, again, has it been made known? Do you know it? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The purpose of God to not only begin that work, ye must be born again, that must be the beginning of it, but the purpose of God is to deepen it, isn't it? To continue it. Oh, Peter has that exhortation, doesn't he, that we may grow in grace and in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. That work must be carried on. The teaching of God must be more and deeper, according to which he hath purposed in himself. And he goes on then to speak of that wonderful inheritance of the people of God. And again in verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It is, again, a reference to his sovereignty, isn't it? Not dependent upon man's advice. That's really what counsel means, isn't it? Advice, not dependent upon man, but the counsel, the wisdom of his own will. He has purposed this to happen. That we, here is the purpose again, isn't it? That we should be, we should exist, we should live to the praise of his glory. Is that your purpose in life? It is the purpose of God for his people, isn't it? Clearly, we're reading his word, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Oh, we have to mourn, don't we, how little we do reflect glory to God. How little fruit we bring forth. I've been thinking about that word in John chapter 15, I think, that every branch that bringeth forth fruit, it doesn't say he's contented then, as it were, is it? But he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And that word is, and one feels often so condemned by it, really, to come so short of it. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Doesn't just say that ye bear fruit, does it? But that ye bear much fruit. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Now again, he continues. Perhaps I should leave it there and let you consider it at home at your leisure, what the rest of the teaching is in that first chapter to the Ephesians. How it shows the developing revelation of Christ to the soul, doesn't it? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the end of that calling? Well, we looked at that chain. It is through the teaching of God and at last to be brought to glory, isn't it? That's the hope of his calling. And to know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe. Oh, all these things the Lord has purposed, and he will also do it. Now, I want just in conclusion to come to this word in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26 and verse 16. I draw your attention especially to it. It seems so to stand out to me as I considered this word. This is Paul's testimony to King Agrippa of what had happened to him on the Damascus Road, how God had met with him. Remember that great light that shone upon him and the voice that he heard from heaven. But then in verse 16 of chapter 26, we are told this, that Jesus said this to Paul. But rise, because he had fallen to the ground, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There is a purpose behind God giving this revelation to his people. As I said, one of those purposes is his praise. But here it is expressed in this way, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of these things, the things you've already seen, and of the things that will be revealed in the future. A minister, we do think, don't we, of the public preaching of the word of God, in the sense that I am a minister at this time to you, and maybe that is a word for one here, I know not, to make thee a minister. And I would just say this again, felt it rest with such weight, really, in my thoughts. You may think when I say that, your mind may go to those who are the male members of the church, and you think, well, which one of them will it be? Well, it may be, I don't know. I don't feel I have any leading it in that sense. But I would just say this. It was made clear to me by God that I should be a minister 8 years before I was even baptized. So maybe it's not someone who is currently in the church. I'm not saying it isn't, but I don't know that it is. 8 years, and then another, in total 25 years from the time that the Lord said that to me, made it clear before it actually came to pass. But what a word this is. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. But it's also in my thoughts this way. A minister, the word minister, it just means a servant. We do well to remember that. Every one of the Lord's people should be a minister. It's not restricted to our use of that word in the public preaching. Everyone should serve the Lord, should serve one another in the Lord. Oh, is that a word to one here, to make thee a servant? Oh, perhaps that's not your purpose. Perhaps that's not your will to serve. But is it the purpose of God? I have purposed it. I will also do it. And this also, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a witness. The Lord says, doesn't he, in Isaiah's prophecy, ye are my witnesses. Well, are you? Am I? Really? A witness? Oh, there's so much, especially in John's epistles, that speak of what a witness is. Someone with first-hand knowledge. Someone who's got that experience. They're not going by hearsay. They're not saying what someone else has told them, but what they know, what God has put into their heart. That which, the word's right. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. But notice this, you see, to be a witness, he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. A witness is not really a witness if they are not testifying of what they have experienced and seen and heard, are they? I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a witness, to speak of it, to encourage someone by telling them of these things, to witness above all to the glory of God. Because it's not what we've done for ourselves, is it? It's to come in humble acknowledgement that God has purposed it and God has done it. It's to speak of what he has done, not what we have done. What we are and what we feel, yes, that is a part of it, but it is to the glory of God. And you see, and again, I feel this so powerfully, it's not about a once-in-a-lifetime testimony when we join the church, is it? You see, it's a witness of the things that we have seen, but it's still to be a witness of the things that we've yet to see and experience. Those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Or to continue to witness to the glory of God. Not just, as it were, to say the things that he has done to us and has revealed to us at the point of joining the church, and then, I don't know, maybe live another 20, 30, 50 years, I don't know, and never speak again of what he's done subsequently. That's not to the glory of God, is it? I have purposed it. I will also do it. And I have appeared unto thee. Oh, I do encourage you to consider these things, to pray over them. What is the purpose of God in this matter? I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Well, we must leave it there. As we said at the outset, this was not at all our purpose to spend the evening in this way, but we trust that the Lord will show and give us that heart to be reconciled to his will, that it is his purpose. And how much greater is that purpose, that wisdom that is in his thoughts and his ways, compared to that which is in our own. To see God in all these things, in providence, in the circumstances of our life, but also in that spiritual teaching, the deepening of the word of the knowledge of God in our hearts, that we might live to the glory and honour of his name. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 602. Jesus, the author is of true and living faith. This blessed grace he gives and saves our souls from death. By faith in him we live and view the wonders God alone can do. 602.
Gracious God, do forgive anything that has been amiss in thy sight, in all our thoughts and in our words. Lord, do show thy purpose in all these things. Lord, how we need that power of thine to do it, to accomplish these things in our lives. Oh Lord, do so bless us, we pray, with that knowledge of these saving truths. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.